Comparing your work to other designers can help you define your aesthetic. Hear me out. Usually when we compare ourselves, we think about what we could improve or do better to be like that designer. But what if instead you're defining the characteristics you like about your design and what makes you unique? You're listening to the UI Narrative Podcast, the bi-weekly podcast that shares how industry-leading designers got started in interface design and how they create successful user-centered experiences. And I'm your host, Tolu Ajayi. Let's get started. Welcome back to the UI Narrative Podcast. How are you guys doing? Man, I've been dealing with a lot of imposter syndrome lately. I feel like I've always dealt with it more when I accomplish something. And I know it's because I'm putting myself out here more, so I've been dealing with it a lot more than usual. Hell, I was even struggling to hit record for this episode because I kept asking myself, why would people want to hear what I have to say about imposter syndrome when they can just Google it? I don't have anything good enough for them to hear. People won't think my experience matters because I usually come out on the positive side. I don't have imposter syndrome. I just think I do. All the thoughts are running through my head. Well, all of that's not true. I have designer imposter syndrome, and I'm going to share with you how I manage it, and hopefully you can learn how to get through yours too. Or if you didn't realize you have imposter syndrome, I hope this episode helps you shine light on the potential you have. Let's define what imposter syndrome is, because we need to align on what the actual definition is so we can really understand what's happening in our minds. So imposter syndrome is a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. Have you ever felt like a fraud while you're designing something? I've had this exact feeling when I was designing the UI Narrative Podcast. I would tell myself, you don't really know what UI design is. You haven't been in industry for 10 years, so how can you tell people you know what you're talking about? It took me like 6 months to get this podcast out to you guys, and I could have had it out last year in 3 months. I just kept sitting on it, trying to refine it and make it better, when in reality, it was already perfect. I would just keep comparing my podcast to other people and saying, well, this person already talked about this topic, so I can't do it because they obviously have more experience than me. Do you see the downward spiral imposter syndrome can take you on? So how do I get through it and manage it? First, I determine if it's imposter syndrome or I'm actually a fraud. So do you have proof that you're a fraud? It's funny how quick we are to judge ourselves for the smallest things. Ask yourself, did you blatantly copy someone's idea or design? Or did you not give credit where credit is due? If you're a decent designer, which I'm sure you are most likely not a fraud. You're just overthinking the situation. So once I realize I'm not a fraud, I dissect where the idea that I'm a fraud originated, so I know what triggered my imposter syndrome. So let's go over some about 5 or 6 different triggers that usually I see whenever I know that, okay, this is where my imposter syndrome is coming from. Number one, you got some inspiration from another designer, so your work might have some similarities. It's okay to get inspiration from other designers. I mean, that's how design still exists today. Every design comes from inspiration of something else that has existed long before your time. If you're copying your design to look exactly like the original, then it makes sense that you're feeling like a fraud because you didn't make the design original. If you're working on perfecting a skill by copying a design and aren't publishing it as your own, then that's okay. You're not a fraud for working towards increasing your skill set. You can use what you learned from that project to inspire your own original design. Number two. You feel like you have to be an expert on something before you can start to talk about it. You constantly watch tutorials, webinars, or go to conferences or trainings because you're scared if you don't have every possible ounce of knowledge on the subject, then you're a liar. I really relate to this one because this was the reason I almost didn't start the UI Narrative Podcast. I thought I didn't know enough about UI UX design to start a podcast. But you will never have all the knowledge about a subject because design is always progressing And new studies are always being released, so no matter how hard you try, you'll always feel insufficient. You need to accept that what you know today is good enough for now. I'm not saying don't continue to learn and research, but you need to take time to digest and appreciate what you've learned. You won't always have an answer to everything, and it's okay to learn things as you go. Just make sure you're moving forward and doing something with the knowledge you learn as you learn it. Don't stay stagnant because you don't know what's ahead. Number three. So this one's similar to number two. Are you afraid to speak up in a meeting because you don't know if you have the right terms to use in the conversations? I do this sometimes if people are using vocabulary out of my range of knowledge. It can be intimidating and make you feel like you don't belong in the room because you don't know all the words or acronyms, like what they mean. But don't be afraid to ask. If you're shy and don't want to ask, then you can just make note of every term or concept you don't understand. And then later on, you can do a Google search or ask your boss for one-on-one to go over that list. This works for me every time. Number four, are your expectations too high? How do you feel when you get feedback on a project? Whether the feedback is good or bad, do you feel like you haven't accomplished anything? Why do you feel that way? Did the project not go as expected? What expectation did you have for that project? It's easy to set unrealistic expectations in our head and become disappointed when we can't fulfill them. Before I start a project, I like to set my expectations of how I think it will go from start to finish. I look at my resources and reflect on if my goal is actually achievable, meaning I see if I need help from another designer. I also see if there's a certain skill I'll need to learn along the way and if I think I can learn it in time. I set an expectation that I'll try my best and no matter the outcome, I know that I did the best job I can do. There's so many outcomes that can come from a design project. It's really out of your hands sometimes because it could just be that the client doesn't like the direction anymore. So keep in mind that you have to adjust your expectations to the clients and just know that you tried your best. If you're getting help from another designer, do you feel like you can't claim co-ownership to the design? Even if you just contributed to the design, to the concept of the design, you are worthy of owning co-partnership to the project. Yes, it is wrong if you claim credit for doing the whole project, but don't feel like you can't claim what you've done. That's another form of imposter syndrome. Another high expectation imposter syndrome that I've dealt with is trying to make my design be up to par with someone else's. Comparing your work to other designers can help you define your aesthetic. Hear me out. Usually when we compare ourselves, we think about what we could improve or do better to be like that designer. But what if instead you're defining the characteristics you like about your design and what makes you unique? Don't tear yourself down when you see another designer's work that looks, quote, better, unquote, than yours. Instead, set your expectation that you're always working toward your aesthetic, and seeing another designer's work will challenge you to be original and authentic. Your imposter syndrome could make you a micromanager because you want everyone to meet your high expectations, so watch out for that. I understand that designs need to be pixel perfect. Files need to be organized, projects need to be turned in on time. However, it's not okay to have no trust in your design team because of your unrealistic high expectations. Reflect on the goals you have for your team and if they're actually attainable without you having to micromanage. Number five, do concepts and ideas usually come to you easily, but this one is a struggle for you? Just because you don't know the answer this time doesn't make you a fraud. Even if people usually rely on you for the answer, it's okay to say, I don't know, but I will find out and get back to you. Take the time to do some research and don't be afraid to follow up. You won't look dumb for taking time to understand the topic. I think it builds more credibility that you make factual statements. If this happens while designing, that's okay too. Just take a break, but don't give up on it entirely. Sometimes it takes multiple breaks for me to come up with an idea for a project, but it's worth it in the end because every time I come back, I have a better idea. And also, it's okay if you need to ask for help. Sometimes I get that little voice in my head that says, no, don't ask them. They will judge you. You will look like a fool. But you just gotta get out of your head, okay? So we've gone over 5 triggers for designer imposter syndrome and how to manage each one of them. So next we'll go over why you're your worst critic after this short break. Did you listen to this episode before it launched? My email club members are the only people who get access to this behind the scenes information. They're the first to know when I post a new blog post, launch new products, and I also share clips of the next podcast episode. This weekly email is a way for you to see the behind the scenes of what new things are coming to UI Narrative. I also share my weekly UI UX inspirations, tips, and challenges. So you get to see what my creative process is like each week. So this next episode is about... Oh wait, I can't tell you! You have to join the UI Narrative email club to hear more. You can join at uinarrative.com/email club. That's uinarrative.com/email club. I have a lot to tell you, so I can't wait to talk to you soon. Look, you're your worst critic. Let's talk about how to get out of your head. It's hard. You gotta see the bigger picture. Perspective is everything when you're dealing with imposter syndrome. It's hard to see things for what they really are when you have a fogged lens. But you gotta keep yourself in check. Make note of every time you feel like a fraud. And after a week, look at all those notes you've made and go back and listen to those 5 designer imposter syndrome triggers we discussed. And by pinpointing what's causing you to feel like a fraud, you'll be able to manage it. You need to understand your value. You're a great designer whether you think so or not. You were hired for whatever project you're working on to do a great job with your aesthetic. Yes, there's several ways you can take a design project, and you may feel like another designer could have done it better than you, but guess what? That's your imposter syndrome talking. Go back and listen to number 4 about expectations being too high. Whoever you're comparing your work to may be on a different skill level than you, meaning they've been in the industry for like 7 years longer than you. So either way, it doesn't matter what skill level you're at. You gotta focus on how to use what you know to make it look good and keep designing, and you'll learn new things along the way. You can't learn everything at once. And another thing, I hate to break it to you, but no one cares about those thoughts in your head. How you present yourself is what's remembered. Is your imposter syndrome causing you to miss out on opportunities? I've gone to interviews with imposter syndrome, but did I let it control the interview? No, I deal with imposter syndrome daily, but do I let it control my life? Okay, sometimes it temporarily gains control, but I learned how to manage it, so I know when I'm triggered and don't miss out on opportunities, and I want you to do the same. You will most likely never get rid of imposter syndrome. It sucks, I know. I've accepted this for myself, and I think imposter syndrome has made me a better designer because before I make any decisions with my designs or career, I have deep conversations with myself, so I don't let imposter syndrome control my life. I manage it and I control it. Also, there will always be moments like awards, recognitions, promotions, etc. that will trigger your imposter syndrome, so that's why it's here to stay forever. I also think that imposter syndrome will make you a better designer too if you learn to manage it. You gotta understand your triggers and make a note of every time you feel like a fraud and review the triggers we discussed. You also need to have proof that you're not a fraud. This part always feels silly to me because it's easy to forget just how amazing we are when we're constantly putting ourselves down. So write down your achievements, skills, successes to demonstrate that you really do have concrete value to share with the world. If you're new to design, you may not have worked on enough projects yet to see just how much of an impact you can make, but even the little things like turning in your projects on time is a success. You need a support system too. I mean, my support system is everything for me. If you don't have people cheering you on during your imposter syndrome moments, then you can reach out to me. I'll always cheer you on because I believe in you. And you can always email me at hello@unarrative.com. A support system is important because they can give you that perspective that gets fogged up by doubt and negative thoughts. All right, I think I've said everything I needed to say, but if you've zoned out this entire episode, the main thing I want you to remember is you got hired for a reason, so don't doubt your worth of being a designer. At your job and in your life, you are worthy. you're better at this than you think you are. Trust me, there's always something or someone that looks worse. You're smarter than you think you are also. You weren't just born today out the womb, were you? So it can't be that bad, right? You know more than you give yourself credit for. So just keep reminding yourself all those things every single day. It's how you'll get through designer imposter syndrome and things will turn out even better than you thought they could ever be. I want to leave you with this quote. Don't wait until everything is just right. It will never be perfect. There will always be challenges, obstacles, and less than perfect conditions. So what? Get started now. With each step you take, you will grow stronger and stronger, more and more skilled, more and more self-confident, and more successful. And that's by Mark Victor Hansen. Before I head out, I want to take a moment to ask you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on my website, uinarrative.com/podcasts. Reading your comments and DMs means so much to me, and I love seeing how much this podcast is helping you in your progression to becoming a UI designer or just learning more about UI UX design. So please leave me a comment and review so I know what you think. Let's keep fighting imposter syndrome together. I'd love to hear about how you manage designer imposter syndrome. So feel free to email me at hello@uinarrative.com. See you in 2 weeks, friend. Thank you for listening to the UI Narrative Podcast. If you like what you hear, make sure to show this podcast some love by commenting and subscribing where you listen. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at UI Narrative or Twitter at UI Narrative CO. I also respond to emails at hello@uinarrative.com. Talk to you later.